is a lot of richness in the symbolism of this story of the raising of Lazarus, but I would like to focus firstly on the fact that Jesus raised a man from the dead. I would like to focus on that, but the fact is, Jesus had done so before, Jairus' daughter and the widow's son in name. Somehow this time was different. This story of Jesus raising Lazarus is about more than just Lazarus and Martha and Mary. And so the story is inseparable from what it means for everyone else. Because today, Jesus confronts death itself. Death, the sentence that hangs over every human life. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. One day there will be nothing left of your earthly body. That is what threatens each life. You can fight illness, you can fight temptation, weariness, persecution, aging, sorrow. As long as you are alive, you have free will, and you can choose, if nothing else, to hold on to hope. Sometimes the fight may be one of sheer endurance, but you can choose not to give up. On the other side, you can even fight God himself. God allows this. You can fight against the nature he has given you and the limitations placed upon you. But death, you cannot fight death. There is no court of appeals, no second chance. You can shout against it, but with death we see the truth that evil is a lack, a deprivation, on full display in all its finality. You can protest against death, but you merely shout into the void, the great silence. Death is often personified, even in the Bible, as something that eats human beings. Death closes its mouth over you, and then that's it. And yet, as much as it is a part of human experience in every single human life, death remains unnatural. Human souls were not meant to be separated from human bodies. And Jesus, in his humanity, feels this. He feels the weight not just of the death of Lazarus, but of all the death in the history of the world. He feels the approaching blackness of his own death. And so some would say, why does Jesus weep if he knows he's going to raise Lazarus? He even tells the apostles what he's going to do before he does it. Well, another consideration is this past week we just celebrated the feast of Saint Joseph. We celebrated his feast day, the day that he died. We generally celebrate the saints on the day they died. Jesus would have liked to have prevented Joseph from dying. He certainly had the power and the ability to do so, but it was not in accord with his father's will. Jesus would have liked to have been there with his mother for the end of her earthly life, on earth still. But it was his father's will that John take his place. Some of you have been following along with the Hallow Apps Lenten Challenge, and they have been talking about The Brothers Karamazov, perhaps my favorite book ever. And it has the best portrayal and answer to the problem of evil, which is often ultimately revolves around this question of death. The author, Dostoevsky, was a radical revolutionary, a sort of proto-communist in his youth. So that got him sent to the labor camps of Siberia. And the only book he was allowed in the Tsar's labor camps was the Bible. And so he chose to read the book of Job. And he read it again and again and again. And he experienced a profound conversion in that prison camp back to the Orthodox Christianity of his youth. But the book of Job, that converted Dostoevsky doesn't provide a very satisfactory answer to the problem of evil or of death, the death of Job's own children. God merely answers with a series of questions. Where were you when I created the earth? Have you ever commanded the sun to rise? So then we get to the New Testament. What of Jesus? In all of his teaching, he never addresses the problem of evil all that directly. He doesn't come out and say, "This is why my Father allows the innocent to suffer or the young to die." What is truth? He looks back at Pilate in silence, the silence of death. And yet, he is the truth. It is his death that speaks. He does not answer Martha or Mary in the gospel today in response to their implicit question, "Why were you not here? Why did you not come sooner?" This week on the Feast of the Annunciation, we will have a Eucharistic healing service, bringing the power of Jesus' death and resurrection present in the Eucharist, continued in the Eucharist, bringing that presence in a particular way to our community as a parish here. That we have our wonderful Adoration Chapel, of course, but to pray together before the monstrance. On the feast of that great day when the Word became flesh, the Word, the eternal Word, was received into the body of the Blessed Virgin Mary, finding there a fitting dwelling place. There he was fed and he grew. His human life, his human body, was received into that warmth and safety to develop. Now, today, he makes himself small in the Eucharist. The jaws of death opened wide and swallowed Jesus on the cross. And ever since that day, we open our mouths and swallow him. His death continues. In our bodies, Jesus' body is dissipated, disintegrated. The destruction of his body that we may live, his pouring out of his blood that we may be renewed. Of course, we do not cause Jesus suffering when we worthily receive him in the Eucharist, as we receive his bodily presence. But is it not a great self-emptying, a loving to the end, to the limits, that he allows us to eat him? On the other hand, as we eat, we are eaten. We die to ourselves by opening up to something infinitely greater than ourselves. Something, or rather, someone that we cannot contain. We get recreated just a little bit more. Another part of our pride dies. A little more of his life rises up within us. Jesus lives within us a little more fully. He enters not only into our bodies, but our whole lives. He can fill our soul, feed our soul as well as our body, inflame our heart. Jesus makes himself so small, so vulnerable to all your pain and suffering. Jesus wept. Perhaps you have suffered a great loss. Perhaps part of you is in the tomb, like Lazarus, or like Martha and Mary, with a loved one, in the tomb with your sin, or with whatever casts a long shadow over your joy. Jesus wants to roll the stone back and say to that part of yourself, "Come, come out into the light. Let me come into you, come to you. Let me roll the stone back and bring my light in." Jesus wants you to pray from the depths of your heart. As our psalm today says, "Out of the depths I cry to you." From the depths even of suffering, to know his abiding presence in the midst of it. Jesus wants you to know true joy. He wants to live his life in you. That you will live in him and experience the true joy of faith, hope, and charity. and above all, of union with his will. The Eucharist is not only the great means of Jesus' union with us as we receive him, but also the sign of his desire to be with us always, when we adore him, especially exposed in the monstrance. At the healing service, we will have a couple of guest priests to offer healing through the sacrament of penance as well. And Father Borkenhagen will process around with the monstrance to every person. I will offer blessings with the oil of Saint Joseph, which comes from the shrine established by Saint André Bessette. And as we conclude here, I find that I talk about the chosen far more than I ever expected to in homiletics class. But the scene that just wrecked me in the chosen was the raising of Lazarus. Because the first thing Lazarus does after coming out of the tomb, once he gets his blindfold off, is he kisses Jesus' hands. And just as so many people had just done to me when I saw that scene after my ordination, when I offered first blessings, after my hands had been anointed, Jesus raises souls from the dead, raises souls out of the death of mortal sin, even the worst sins, back to life by using my voice and my hands. He commands souls out of the tomb, come out through my priesthood. Jesus makes all things new, and he desires to renew you through sharing with you the graces of his death and resurrection. With Jesus, death will never have the last word. With the grace of Jesus Christ, we may even become saints, so that our death can truly become a celebration of our entrance into eternal life.